On this page, there are three texts that are intended to provide an introduction to the Christian practice of Lectio Divina, or sacred reading, a method of reading the biblical text that is primarily oriented towards prayer, a method in which the reading of the text is for the purpose of entering into experience of God. It is also the source of, and to some extent it's the result of, the practice of the kind of contemplative exegesis that we've already seen described by Philo of Alexandria, and which is strongly recommended by a variety of Christian authors, whom we'll be looking at in a little more detail later in the course. The practice of Lectio Divina, this method of reading the scriptures, an approach to the biblical text, which from the perspective of spiritual direction and spiritual guidance represents an ascetical practice on the one hand, also represents, as we'll see, a kind of living laboratory, a way in which one learns a variety of ways of prayer that help one to discover God in that part of creation which is the Bible, so that one can use an analogous method to the approach that one uses in Lectio Divina to then look out to the world to discover God present in such things as interpersonal relationships, issues, concerns that arise in daily life, and engage in a kind of lectio on these activities, a sort of lectio on life, using the same steps and stages and methods appropriate to lectio, and also to use that method, that approach, on what rises up within one's heart. One will discover the capacity to find God in the biblical text through a moving back and forth between a gentle rhythm of progressive openness to God, of speaking to God, then of discovering the deeper meanings of purposes of God within the text, which one can also engage in on memories, issues, and interior concerns. One's own inner life, one's own experience of both temptation and of joy can become matter for an inner experience of lectio on one's own memory, on one's own heart. So the practice of Lectio Divina is not only something one can recommend as a spiritual guide and director, as a spiritual practice that helps one learn to pray, it's also a way of viewing the world. It enables the individual to come to see their own lives as charged with the glory of God, as having meaning and purpose, just as an individual text can yield meaning and purpose other than that which appears simply on the surface. And it also becomes, in a final step or level, a way of viewing, from the perspective of the spiritual guide or the spiritual director, the life of the other. The one who comes to ask advice can be listened to, can be experienced as one who is presenting a life segment consisting of salvation history. One can listen to that as one might listen to the text in Lectio Divina and react to the individual in much the same way that one would to the biblical text. So there are a variety of beautiful and mutually intertwining ways of using this practice, working with this practice in a growing experience of spiritual guidance. So let's look first at this ancient text by Cyprian of Carthage, one of the first Christian witnesses to and recommendations of Lectio Divina. We've already seen this text. We've already passed by it rather quickly when we were looking at Cyprian in terms of his reaction to the tradition of the martyrs. But let's look at it in just a little more detail. He begins in section 114 with this idea of lifting the eyes from earth to heaven, being admitted to the gift of God, being near to God in mind. Ac Deo suo mente jam proximus. One finds one's mind already very near to God. How does this happen? And he goes on in the next section under the blue bar to describe that what happens is, and what he's trying to describe, is nothing less than an early approach to Christian contemplation, an understanding of Christian contemplative prayer. He says, and again, we've looked at this before, he uses beautiful imagery that will later come into and be appropriated in the beautiful hymn, the Veni Sancte Spiritus, the celebration of the presence of the Holy Spirit that continues to be used as the as part of the preparation for listening to the gospel on Pentecost. He uses the imagery of a sun shining, the day-giving light, fountain flowing, a shower yielding, moisture, all of these beautiful images are how God gives God's Spirit to us, how the Holy Spirit is infused into us. And thus, we gaze into heaven, recognize our author, rise up higher than the sun, and an image of transformation, like that notion of theosis, of divinization, which we've already seen in other later authors, here we catch a glimpse of it in a very early form. We begin to be what we believe ourselves to be, daughters and sons of God. How does this happen? How does this contemplative vision and transformation occur in the section that I've labeled 115? Through a very simple rhythm. And this is the most basic, almost primitive description of Lectio Divina, an alternation between, he says, be constant in prayer and reading. Oratio, Lectio. So read the text and pray. Turn to God in the text, turn back in an experience of prayer. Listen to God in the text, offer your reflections and then your whole self to God in a kind of consecration prayer. There's a gentle moving back between the sacred text and interaction with God in that secret place of one's own heart, which is the basic fundamental rhythm of Lectio Divina. What is the result? He says, now let God speak with you, now speak with God. Nunc cum Deo loquere, nunc Deus tecum. So a simple rhythm of prayer and reading. This is what Cyprian is recommending and describing. It's being done by the Christians of his day, and he's recommending it to them. The result of this, the one who is made rich by God cannot be made poor. There can be no poverty to one who has been supplied with this heavenly food. And then we begin to see ourselves as he puts it, that dwelling in which God has dwelt as in a temple. The Holy Spirit is abiding within us. So a process of Lectio Divina, of reading the text, speaking to God, alternating prayer and reading, that allows one to see God for who God is, and then begin to see the self for what, as Cyprian says, we begin to be that which we believe ourselves to be. Here, in this particular sentence, we discover that the Holy Spirit has begun to make his abode in us, and that we are thus of more importance than any dwelling we might see, however costly or beautiful. So there's a real sense of a vision of God in the scriptures, of God beyond the text, up above the self, this beautiful image of the Son, and within the heart that is being blessed and transformed, healed, made into something utterly new. Now, in very modern times, this practice of reading the text in this way, and we'll look at a little very shortly at what this way consists in, this method of Bible meditation is specifically recommended at the Second Vatican Council in the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, De Verbum, a very important contemporary teaching document that emphasizes the significance of the sacred scriptures as a touchstone for Christian doctrine, but also a source of ongoing growth. And let's look at something very interesting in number 8. In this text from De Verbum, the tradition that comes from the apostles develops. Proficit is the term that is used for this in the church with the help of the Holy Spirit. For there is, it says, a growth in understanding. Crescit in perceptio. There is a growth in understanding or in perception of the realities and words that have been handed down. This is an articulation of the understanding of the development of doctrine, that God develops, proficit, that teaching grows, crescit within Christian tradition. Teaching is not static. The Holy Spirit is alive within the church, enabling members of the church, enabling Christians in every age to articulate more clearly, to see more clearly what God is inviting them to do, and articulate more clearly what their faith actually is. Well, this is a very important notion. The tradition makes development. It engages in a kind of growth. How does this happen? Well, this happens, the text says, through what we would call Lectio Divina, the contemplative reading of the biblical text. It occurs in the original ex contemplatione et studio, through the contemplation and study of believers who treasure these things, namely these biblical texts, in their heart, and the reference is to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to Mary pondering within her heart the things that she has seen of God. This is a famous icon in the Christian tradition, second only to the image of the ruminant beast, which both meditates, with which both ruminates on the one hand, engages in a kind of ruminatio on the one hand, and then has the capacity, the ability to see clearly, to distinguish, to engage in discernment. Well, the other very popular icon is the image of Mary, who is pondering within her heart, according to Luke 2:19 and 51, the things that she has heard of Christ. So, contemplation and study of the biblical text is a means by which the tradition makes progress. Other ways of describing this, numbers 2 and 3, a penetrating understanding of the spiritual realities that they, the people of God, experience when they engage in this study and contemplation, and also by listening to church authority, listening to those who have been entrusted with ministries of teaching, to the preaching of those who have received the episcopal succession, and through it, the sure gift of truth. By means of this, the church moves towards the fullness of divine truth. So, this is a very powerful description of what this practice of biblical meditation can do. It's not just about the growth in holiness of the individual, however valuable it may be. The individual, as part of a community which is doing this, is enabling the Holy Spirit to help the tradition make progress. The development of doctrine is accomplished, at least in part, through this practice of reflecting on the biblical text. So we begin to see how very important in modern ecclesiology, in the modern understanding of the development of doctrine, this practice really is. And then in number 25, all clergy must hold fast to the sacred scriptures through diligent sacred reading, lectio sacra, and careful study, exquisito studio. So a strong recommendation, even a requirement, that those involved in sacred orders, those who have received ordination, must engage in sacred reading and careful study, and all the Christian faithful, not just the ordained, and especially religious, but not just those in vows, are encouraged to frequent reading of the divine scriptures. And then three means a little bit further down, the liturgy, that is to say the text that is read and experienced in community, is one means of appropriating this. The liturgy can be an opportunity for a kind of ongoing lectio divina, hearing the word read out, pondering it in the heart, or through devotional reading, through one's own reading of the scriptures and other of texts that invite one to deepen one's understanding of this biblical method, or through instructions suitable for this purpose and other kinds of means that are becoming available. Bible study groups, methods of group lectio divina that have subsequently become popular and are widely used. And then in conclusion, let them remember, and here we have a repetition of what we've already seen in Cyprian, prayer should accompany the reading of sacred scripture, oratio, lectio, are these two terms, so that there arises a dialogue, a colloquium is the word that is used here, between God and humankind, for we speak to God when we pray, we hear God when we read. Oramus audimus. And that's a quotation from St. Ambrose, who's effectively adapting his predecessor, St. Cyprian. So here we see a modern adaptation of this very ancient and beautiful tradition, which is inherited by Christianity from ancient Judaism, especially from the approach that we see in Philo of Alexandria, that when we turn to the text, we engage in a process of listening, of a reading that is listening, a carrying of the text within the heart, a repetition, a meditation, a meditatio, a mulling over, that which then leads us into prayer and at intervals invites us to set aside the text and simply rest in the presence of God. This is the practice of Lectio Divina. The results of it are that it is a means by which the tradition, the teaching of the church, will make progress in our own day. We become vehicles for this development insofar as we engage in this practice. Further down, this is an article, an introduction to Lectio Divina that I have just recently written, for publication in a book of essays, I thought it would be helpful. It's not yet available elsewhere. It summarizes what we've already seen and attempts to apply, and I'm not going to look at it in detail. I'll invite you to read it on your own, to take a look at it either here or in the downloadable form that you can find in the appropriate section of the course website, the section that includes downloadable texts. When you look at it, I'd invite you to note especially the application of the practice of Lectio Divina, not only the description, which we've already gone over to some extent, but the way in which Lectio can then become a way of viewing the world. The image that one might use is to engage in a practice of dialogue with God by means of the sacred text, and then to look up from the text to behold the world around us, to engage in a kind of lectio on the world we see, on our relationships, the things that are happening to us, and then engage in an interior, inward lectio on our own lives, to allow our own, and you'll see in this article particularly emphasized, our own what seem to be distractions that rise up during the experience of reading and of prayer, which are not distractions, but are part of the self intended to be consecrated, offered to God through the exercise of what, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, is called the royal priesthood. The priesthood all the baptized enjoy in virtue of their baptism, which is particularly exercised in the ministry of prayer. When we engage in prayer, we are engaging in an inner consecration, an offering up to God that is itself a participation in Christ's own high priesthood, that is literally a consecration of those concerns, those desires, perhaps those things that have been commended to our prayers by others. And in the context of Lectio Divina, the things that rise up and otherwise might seem to distract us during this experience of meditating on, reflecting on the biblical text. It's not distraction, it is matter, material for a consecration in prayer that is the exercise of this royal priesthood. So that will be highlighted and emphasized in this article, as well as a general description of the practice itself. And let me just conclude, again, not by reciting or repeating the article, which I leave you to look at on your own, but simply by reminding us that we now have a sense of a tradition within Christianity in which biblical text becomes a guide in the spiritual journey, in which one's daily turning to the text, and certainly this will especially become true as the developing liturgical practice of morning and evening prayer using the Psalms and using the Scriptures becomes ever more firmly a part of regular Christian and widespread Christian practice, which is attested in the third and then especially in the fourth centuries and from that point onwards. This means that one has the means for an ongoing journey of spiritual growth in which the primary formator, the primary, if you will, director or guide, is God present in the biblical text. The Holy Spirit leading us through an experience of daily lectio on the word we hear and pray in liturgy, the word we choose to turn to in our own private lectio on individual texts, and the, if you will, extended sense of the word in salvation history, in events around us. We learn to look up from the biblical text to behold using the methodology, if you want to call it that, of Lectio Divina, to contemplatively gaze on the world around us, on our own inner experience, and then, for those entrusted with the ministry of spiritual guidance, on those who come to us with their own journeys and their own stories, which we hear in a spirit of Lectio Divina, and thus discover from that the ability to discover and to speak about what we hear of God's presence in those things. The dialogue in the context of spiritual guidance, when engaged in by one who is using, if you will, a kind of a Lectio Divina approach, the dialogue is itself a process of sharing what one has experienced in hearing the other's story, the other's journey, as a kind of experience of sacred text.